So we are now coming to the last step of the journey, as far as these three chapters are concerned. These four chapters that we are dealing with can be seen from many points of view. One of them is to consider the proof of the existence of God. Does God exist? And these three chapters can be regarded as an answer to that question. The ninth chapter, which we saw first, the pure existence, was one answer to the question whether God exists or not. And if you take the entire chapter and look for the quintessential point in that chapter, it is one sentence: pure existence without quantity, without quality, is not only what can be conceived, but is the one thing that can be conceived. You might say this is the proof of the existence of God. If you put the word God in place of pure existence, that is to say, if by God you mean the pure existence, then it is very clear that this pure existence is not only what can be conceived, but is the one thing that can be conceived. In the next chapter, the question was raised whether this pure existence is conscious or unconscious. And we had a debate between materialism on the one hand and the one who holds that consciousness is the ultimate reality. And then we concluded that pure existence is the pure conscious being. And the force which is issued from that pure existence is also a conscious force. Now, having reached this point, there is a third question. And that question arises from the present world experience. Just as unconsciousness was one of the phenomena of the world, we seem to contradict conscious being. Similarly, there is another phenomenon in the world which seems to contradict the pure conscious being. And therefore, this is a question which has to be answered if you are really to prove the existence of God. So in the chapter number 11, which is entitled Delight of Existence, the Problem, Sri Aurobindo first of all enunciates the problem that seems to contradict the phenomena which contradict the existence of God. If you define God as pure existence, as conscious being, and as a being that is delight, if you so conceive God, then this is contradicted by certain phenomena. And unless you satisfactorily answer those phenomena, you won't be able to assert that God is pure existence, conscious being, and delight. Now, first of all, before presenting the problem, there is one logical argument which we need to state at the very outset. Once you grant that reality or God is pure existence and is conscious being, it follows that he must have or he must be pure delight. once you grant those two premises, that God is pure existence and His conscious being, it follows that God must be pure delight. Now let us see how does it follow. There is a logical connection between God as pure existence, God as conscious being, and conclusion that God must be delight. What is the logical connection? The logical connection is as follows. If God is pure existence, it follows that He needs nothing. It's pure existence. Anything that is in need of anything is to some extent in want of something. But that which is fully existent, there is not even any kind of lacuna of any kind. That means that pure existence needs nothing. That is why we also say that pure existence is pure silence, the highest inactivity. In fact, one of the definitions of pure being was that it is immobile. Immobile because there is nothing wanted. Therefore, there is no need for any activity at all. Now, if in addition to that, He is also a conscious being, then it is up to Him to decide whether He wants to remain immobile or whether He also wants to become mobile. If He is a conscious being, it follows that He has a possibility of deciding. If He was unconscious, then you cannot say that He has a power of will. But if He is a conscious being, then He has a will to choose between immobility and mobility. So, a pure existence which is already in need of nothing, He has a choice to remain immobile or to remain mobile, or to remain both at the same time. And if He chooses to be mobile, as we see that He has decided to be mobile because the whole world is mobile, therefore we say that He has chosen to be mobile. Then the question is asked, why has He chosen to be mobile? He is conscious. He could have chosen to remain immobile, yet He has become mobile. So you have to ask the question, why He chose to be mobile when He could have remained immobile? The only answer that is possible to such a question is that He is not necessitated to become mobile. There is no force external to Him which obliges God to be mobile. It was possible for Him to be mobile and immobile at the same time. It was possible for Him and He chose to do it, but no compulsion in it. Now when there is an activity behind which there is no compulsion, then the only answer you can give is that it is for the sake of delight. It was delight for Him to remain immobile. It was delight for Him to be mobile. In both the cases, whether He remains immobile or mobile, or remains both at the same time, it adds nothing to Him. Since there is no compulsion of any kind at all, the only answer you can give is that that also was possible for him to be mobile. And he chose to be mobile, but why? There was no compulsion. So if you say, when there is no compulsion and yet you choose it, what is the answer you can give? I choose because it was possible for me. When you have 8 items to eat, all are equally good, nothing better than the other, and yet you take one, what is the answer as to why you took one instead of the other ones? You took it because you could have taken it. There was no compulsion. It simply happened. You chose because it was also a possibility to choose. This kind of a condition is called delight. Delight is a condition where, out of various possibilities, every possibility is as good as the other. And when there is no compulsion on part of that choice to choose one or the other, or to choose all at the same time, and then something is chosen, then the condition in which it is chosen can be only termed as delight. That's the definition of delight. If you find any reason as to why it should be done, then that reason compels him to do, therefore it is not delight. Delight means absence of compulsion. That is why it is said that there are 3 words which mean the same. Freedom, delight, and grace. All the 3 words really mean the same.